One Dish, One Mic, a podcast now a broadcast with Carl Dockstader and Sean Vanderkliss on News Talk 610 CKTV.
Becoming Kin, an Indigenous call to unforgetting the past and reimagining our future by author Patty Kroyak. I love saying that. I love saying author Patty Kroyak. Patty, are you used to that yet?
I love hearing it.
It's not nothing.
No, and it's still very surreal. Like it's still very surreal. But yeah, I love hearing it. I love seeing people taking pictures of the book. The pre-orders are starting to land in people's hands. It's actually on the bookshelves at another store in Toronto. So yeah, so that's pretty fun.
If you're listening in Toronto, which you can hear One Dish, One Mic in Toronto, another story has hard copies of Becoming Kin. Go and grab a copy. Let's sell out every copy of Becoming Kin. I've read this book. You asked me to pre-read it. I did pre-read it. I just never gave you the feedback because I'm a terrible procrastinator. But I enjoyed it. Like I have to tell you, I sat down and I read 75% of the book in one setting, and then the rest of the book, like the next moment that I had, I re-read it. When you did the author reading, this probably isn't very exciting for the listener to listen to, except that it is the type of book you can't put down. It's chock full of ideas. It's for everyone. When you were writing the book, who are you visualizing as the reader of this book, Patty?
Well, I was thinking about the communities that claim me, right? Because Indigenous people always say, like, who claims you? It's not just about who you claim, but it's about who claims you. So I was thinking about the communities that claim me. And then, so first off, that would, you know, that's my mom's, my mom's community, you know, migrants, refugees. That's my maternal side of the family, which of course would also include the Black diaspora, people who came as slaves. So how do they find belonging in this place? Because going home is not, is not what we're talking about when we talk about land back. You know, and that was never the agreement that was, the relationship that was on offer. So how do they find belonging in this place in a way that doesn't displace Indigenous peoples? And then it's also, for the settlers and people who are descended from settlers, like how do they redefine themselves? You know, how do they think differently about their relationship in this place rather than, kind of inevitable conquest and displacement? How can they find belonging here? And then, of course, it's for Indigenous peoples too, not because I think people that I have anything to teach Indigenous people. I didn't grow up in my community, even though it turned out to be not that far from me. So people who grew up in their communities obviously have more to teach me, but it's also to help maybe give them language to explain to settler relatives or, people in the workplace why these things continue to have ongoing impact, why policies should be looked at and changed, why we should question our assumptions. Because I know I have really benefited from Indigenous media in that way, in getting really good language to talk about these things.
Now, it's such a unique topic to come to. Explain that process, Patty, for our listeners. How did you get to writing about this topic here? Is it the time that we're in where people always coming to Indigenous people and wanting to know? How did you get to that?
Well, I think we really are in a moment right now. And these moments come historically, and if we blow it, there will be another, it'll come again. But I think we really are in a moment where people are listening and kind of questioning the histories they were told, which is why I talk about unforgetting the past, because these histories that are kind of new information, somebody's always known them. Black and Indigenous peoples have been writing and talking about these things for as long as the Europeans have been here. So it's not like we didn't know these things. There's been this kind of collective forgetting in favor of, kind of the Canada the Good narrative that we're so familiar with. So it's about looking back at our history and then what can we build differently? Well, how would our relationships have looked different if we had, kind of approached this relationship differently? And if we want it to be different, what can we do now? What can we do now so that 100 years from now, we're still not being shocked and appalled by the colonial things that are happening today? So what can we do differently? And becoming can, to be honest, that idea, I was interested, very interested in the church at that time. That was what was going on in my head, was how the church had talked about home and belonging while displacing Indigenous people physically and spiritually. So how can the church do better? Was really kind of where my thinking was initially. And then the editor from Broadleaf, who kind of, you know, discovered me in the malt shop, because I didn't set out to write a book. She approached me. After reading my Twitter feed, I might mention. So she approached me after a article was published in Sojourners magazine and asked if I had ever thought of writing a book, and was talking about Indigenous ideas of kinship saving us all. And I thought, well, it's not our responsibility to save you. You've got your own messes to clean up, and we also have our communities to rebuild. But how can we become kin? How can other ways of thinking about our relationship bring us to a better place? That was really interesting to me. And so that's how that whole thing happened. Because I didn't set out to write a book. The book kind of came to me, and then I was like, okay, I've been yelling on Twitter for a while now that somebody needs to do this, so I guess that's me.
Well, that's what I think is really interesting, and that's something I want to pick up on. So you say in the book, how can we find a way to live in the knowledge that we are all related? How can we become better kin? But you answer it. And that, so I don't want to spoil the book for people, but how many times have you and I done a presentation, or Sean, you can relate to this too, and at the end of the presentation, somebody walks up to us and goes, yeah, but how do I turn these ideas into action? You get into that a lot in the book, don't you?
Yeah, well, and again, I cannot say enough nice things about my editor. She was wonderful. So she came up with this idea of having kind of a task, a call to action. And that's what the TRC did. That's what the report into missing and murdered Indigenous women did. That's what the inquests always, you know, that's what inquests do, is they come up with calls to action, with things that people can do. And so she suggested putting those at the end of each chapter. And so each chapter does have a very specific task. Okay, now that you know this, here is something you can do. And it, you know, it starts very basically by noticing, just paying attention to us. Where are we in your life? And then it gets progressively, you know, each chapter kind of builds on, you know, until at the end, you're fairly well equipped to make some change in your community, to make some change maybe in your church or in your family, or, you know, because we're all organized somewhere, right? Whether it's a soccer club or a workplace, you know, or a friendship center, we're all organized somewhere. So how can we then think in terms of that place, and what can we do differently in that set of relationships that pushes Canada or our church or our community to what we think we are, to what we could be?
Now, we've been previewing your attendance on this show starting at 11 o'clock all morning today, as well as talking about Phyllis Webstack coming down to the Niagara region, putting on the performance there. And that has led to conversations about churches in general. And given that this is News Talk 610 CKTB, and we do encourage audience engagements, we've just received a text saying, you never look at all the good the Catholic Church did. And I find that very fitting, given what you're attempting to do with your book. So what would you say to this person, Patty, who said that? You never look at all the good the Catholic Church did. How would you respond in relationship to your book?
Good for who? That's my question. All the good they did, for who? And at what price? You know, who benefited from all of this good? And really, I would push back hard on that and say, 95% of what people talk about is all of the good that the Catholic, the soup kitchens and the homeless shelters and all of those other things. I think, you know, the good of what churches do dominates conversation. And so when we push back on that and say, actually, there shouldn't be graves in schoolyards, you know, actually, pushing us aside and hoarding all of this wealth so that the church can have land, actually not paying your court-ordered reparations, those things are not good, then people get mad. And they say, oh, you know, you're just saying we're terrible. We need to look at our stuff honestly. And, you know, because we can't make things better if we don't admit what went wrong. And I would really think that a church, whether we're talking Protestant or Catholic, whose entire deal is confession and repentance, would understand that. We are at the confession stage. And if they just want to rush straight ahead to repentance, and it's like, no, that's not even how it works within your theology. You got to lay out the things you did wrong. And until you do that, and unless you're willing to look at the different layers of where things went wrong, whether or not your intentions were good, and I'd argue on that one too, you know, we can't move forward to repentance, and neither can you. So their entire theology is based on confession and repentance. So I don't, you know, so this pushback on the confession part is really interesting.
I love your initial point. Good for whom? We're going to have more nuggets of wisdom from Patty Kroc, author of Becoming Kin. It's out in some stores now. It'll be on bookshelves on September 27th. Widely, get yourself a copy of Becoming Kin. We have more with Patty. Real quick before we jump into the break, can you start a fire from scratch, Patty?
No. I use a lighter.
We'll talk about that and more. Text us at 61010. We'll be right back after the short break with more from the author of Becoming Kin on bookshelves September 27th.
With Sean and Carl on One Dish, One Mic from News Talk 610, CKTV.
The author of Becoming Kin, an Indigenous call to unforgetting the past and reimagining our future, Patty Kroc, is joining us live on the air right now. And Patty, you have an event coming up this Tuesday. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about that?
I do. So we're launching the book. Book launch is on the 27th, and we're hosting it at Silver Spire Church in St. Catharines. It will be a conversation, so basically an episode of Medicine for the Resistance, because it will be a conversation with myself, Carrie Goring, and Dr. Robin Bourgeois from Brock University. And we actually chose Silver Spire because a large part of the book is, I'd want to say a large part of it, it's woven into the book, the kind of the unexamined Christian history in these countries. Because even if people don't think of themselves as Christian anymore, Canada and the U.S. are still very Christian countries when you look at whose stat holidays are involved. Even Trump posed in front of a church, right? Like that's kind of how embedded this thinking is in our, in these countries. So we wanted to have that conversation about this unexamined Christian history, and then that's something that this church in particular is working hard at doing. Conversations I've had with Karen, one of the ministers there, and so we decided to kind of take that conversation right to the belly of the beast, so to speak, and do it there as a way of, you know, kind of she's going to be moderating the conversation. Because when we make it all so spiritual about, you know, okay, you know, we brought you Jesus and we brought you, you know, we brought you the truth, it's a really neat way of evading the consequences of missionizing, because residential schools, churches on reserves, you know, all of those things have had like serious material consequences for Indigenous people. And that's not really examined very well. And so that's what this conversation wants to do as a way of launching the book out into the world. Books will be available there. If people want to, you know, wait, come on Tuesday and pick a copy up there, they will be there too.
I got to ask though, and this definitely got our listeners a little bit fired up. Like Sean and I were talking about how it's just difficult for us as Indigenous people to walk through the front doors of any church. Silver Spire is different, and Karen Orlandi and members of Silver Spire are doing things differently, but it's still a church. Yeah. So how far can you get with Christians?
I don't know. And there are other events. I will also be at the St. Catharines Public Library in October. the Beamsville Library actually on this coming Thursday, and at the Niagara Falls Public Library on October 3rd, I think. You can look on their websites for those exact dates. So, yeah, so anybody who doesn't feel comfortable coming into a church, I get that 100%. There's these three library events that they can come to as well. How far I can get? I don't know. I honestly don't know, because I think there's a certain amount of protecting the institution, and that's what happens, right? I mean, churches, businesses, governments, they're all very interested in protecting the institution. And I don't know how far the church is capable of going without having to actually dismantle itself, because there are some aspects of the institution that are just plain harmful. And that's really, so I don't know. I go back and forth between thinking that it's possible. Like even our very initial conversation, that kind of prompted the direction that the book took when we were, you know, waiting backstage about whether or not these two worldviews could ever be reconciled. And at that time I was hopeful that they could be, but I go back and forth. I don't know.
Well, let's visit that thought a little bit, because this is where I'm in your book, and this is sort of where the book starts. And I think you've actually shared this introduction with publication, so we're not giving any spoilers here. But I remember the conversation. You and I were asked to help open a hot ticket event in St. Catharines at the Performing Arts Center. We met at Mate before, had a little bit of a pre-conversation, and then we went up and I did a traditional opening. You did hand drumming, but we sparked a bit of a conversation. I didn't know you were a Christian until that moment. And I have to admit, I was like, wait, you're Christian, but you're going to do traditional Indigenous things? How do those things work together?
Yeah. You know what? I had a moment in church a number of years ago, like lots of years ago, when I was starting to kind of find my way back to community, which I like saying much better than talking about Indigenous identity, because it's not an identity, it's a community. So finding my way back to community, and I had a distinct moment where I remembered thinking I was going to have to choose, that I wouldn't be able to do both. And obviously I chose the Indigenous community. And wherever there is a conflict for me between the two, I will always choose my Indigenous community, and that's I think the only way I've been able to reconcile it, is whenever I do come across a conflict, I will always choose my Indigenous community.
I really want to encourage listeners to check out this book, because these are complex ideas, and the way that I framed the question to you at the time, I think was a bit of an oversimplification by sort of forcing you into that, like the way I phrase it even now on the air, like I hear myself like, either or, you are a Christian or you're Native, now pick right now, Patty. And you and I know that out in community, and this is what Sean and I were talking about both on the air and off the air with you, like you're at our social tables, like you're sitting there, you're on the board of directors of the Fort Erie Native Friendship Center, you're helping to provide support for community events, you organize bringing Desmond Cole to Niagara Falls to talk about how Black Lives Matter, you believe that Palestine should be free. So to try to cast you into this, you know, you're not Native enough because you're Christian, isn't fair, but the church has some work to do.
Yeah, it does. And so that's where I think this question of who claims you is really important, because the church does claim me. So what is my responsibility there? Even if, you know, even if I don't go anymore, or even if I've divested myself of a lot of, you know, what some people might think of as core beliefs, what does my responsibility remain to the church in terms of helping them do better or rethink their own text? A lot of the ways that they read their own text isn't inevitable. There's other ways of understanding those stories. So because I understand the lingo, so to speak, you know, I understand what their assumptions are, I am positioned to be able to talk to them. But there also comes a point where, you know, where you know, even Jesus told his disciples, the dust you feed us, the, you know, shake the dust of that town off and continue on. There comes a point where it's like, okay, I'm finished here now. I've exhausted my responsibilities.
Well, I'm sorry that we're finished with this interview. I think we've exhausted a lot of wonderful conversation, but there's so much more. So Niagarans, come to the event at Silver Spire Church. That is at 7 p.m. on September 27th. Which is also the day the book launches. So Windsor, London, go to your favorite bookseller and grab yourself a copy of Becoming Kin with author Patty Kroc. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me. Thanks.
Thank you to everybody for checking out One Dish, One Mic. We're going to take a short break. We're getting a bit of a spam text situation.
It's a book of lies.
Yes, from an enthusiastic Christian.
So they weren't talking about the Bible.
They were talking about you.
Okay.
It's always about you, Sean.
It is. If it's not about me, I'm not here for it.
We're going to take a short break. Text us at 61010 with something that isn't spam, so we have something better to talk about. We'll be right back.